hard-hitting, intelligent discussion, painstakingly researched, thought-provoking opinions, and deep insight when you need it most. You'll get none of that here. Broadcasting from a secret location deep within America's heartland, Unapologetically Mediocre Studios presents the No Better Than Average podcast with your hosts, Jacob Cazell, Jeff Chaney, and Todd Singer.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the No Better Than Average podcast. This is episode 89, and I am your co-host, Jacob. Along with me are my co-hosts, my co-hi. Can you pluralize that like they do in Greek? Jeff and Todd. Jeff, how are you doing this fine day?
I am doing very well. Got my pokey walk in today. All is doing well in the world.
Awesome. How about you, Todd?
Oh, I'm good. Been outside a little bit this weekend, so happy to be inside with central air.
It's brutal out there. It is like a sauna. Yeah, summer finally hit with a vengeance. Yeah, it's not good.
Been a little rough.
How have you been pokey walking in this? Like, have you just been swimming through the air?
Pretty much. I'm just, it's almost insane the amount of walking I've been doing with as hot as it is, but I'm averaging about 6 miles a day.
Are you doing like the 3 a.m. pokey walks like I see people posting on Facebook?
No, I'm stupid and go out at like 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock at night and then just come back drenched in sweat.
I think you should, well, you're a morning person, you should get up at 4 a.m. and go do it then. It'll be nice and crisp and soggy.
Yeah, then I can be all hot and sweaty again. No.
Well, then you come home and shower and then go to work.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, no. Not so much?
No.
What had you outside in all of this nasty, sticky weather, Todd?
So we had, well, first of all, I did install Pokemon Go.
Oh.
So yesterday for the first time, and I basically just gave it to my son to get him off the Xbox and outside. So we walked around the neighborhood for an hour.
Good job.
To Indianapolis Indians game.
Oh, cool.
Last night for a work outing. And then today we went to my wife's, a coworker's party of hers.
Oh, cool.
It was outside. So spent some
brutal
time there.
Brutal.
They had some trees, so it wasn't too bad. But then we had to walk to the local park, you know, to see if there were any Pokemon there.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't you do that?
Did you get a rare one? A rare fake digital thing?
I really don't know. I installed it, handed my phone to my son, and he's been controlling the phone the whole time, which is fine. I just like the walking.
I gotcha.
But he's getting the point of, okay, I can't see the screen. And it's like, yeah, find some shade. Find some shade, you'll be able to actually see the screen.
It's too sunny for technology.
Yeah.
That means it's too sunny. Just, yeah, carry a parasol. That's what you need. You need to get your kid a parasol.
You need some app. Or we can turn it down a little bit.
I think that app is called Fall. You just wait a few more months. All right. So
I will gladly embrace that fall that you speak of open arms.
September, October.
Ready.
Nice. So some housekeeping at the top of the show to get out of the way. If you guys have a question, a comment, a rant, please give us a call at our call-in line. That number, as always, is 3176-43-1212, 3176-43-1212. Go subscribe to our newsletter at nobettershow.com/join. And if you want to support the show, that would be fantabulous. You can do that on our Patreon page, and that is patreon.com/nobettershow. Do we have a winner for our Android t-shirt contest there, Todd?
We do. Jimmy Gandy, patron, is our winner.
Awesome.
Woo-hoo.
Yep, he won an Android t-shirt, Tasty Treats by Virginia Paltrek, and that got ordered and shipped to him. It's supposed to ship, I think, August 4th, so he should be enjoying wearing that very soon. Thanks for everybody who entered.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks, everybody. And if you want to see more contests, you know, let us know. Write in. Say something. Say more contests, please, and we'll figure out something and put it together and give away stuff.
I did have a note here. Over half the entries have positive things to say about the average Android segment, so it's going to continue until morale improves.
now over half could be just like 50.1. Right?
That qualifies.
Right.
Anything over half.
We are a democracy. So 51% of you like it and 49% hate it. We're going to continue. That is the way it works. I wanted to give a quick update. I've been running the iOS 10 beta for a while now, and I know that they just pushed out public beta 2, which is developer beta 3, this past week, depending on when you are listening to the show. And I have to say that stability is really good. I know you were installing it at our during our last show, Jeff. I don't know how your experience has been this week.
So my first experience with public beta 1 was hit or miss. The audio playback, especially in Overcast, which is what I listen to my podcasts on, it would just pause randomly. Like, and sometimes it would be every 10 minutes. Sometimes it would be every 10 seconds. It was just really annoying. I had some battery issues with public beta 1. Now, since public beta 2, it appears to have fixed those problems. I'm not getting the audio playback pausing. Battery life seems better, although it's hard to tell with as much Pokemoning as I've been doing, because that kind of sucks the battery with GPS and your screen on all the time, et cetera, et cetera. But I've really enjoyed it. I love the notifications. One bug that I did notice today, and I just sent a bug report in, occasionally, especially when I mute it, the little pop-up that comes off that says ringer off just stays no matter what I go into. And I have to unmute it, lock the phone, mute it again, and then unlock the phone, and it's not there.
Interesting. I have not run into that one yet.
So, but I mean, for a public beta, I'm pretty happy with it. And the way the notifications work is just insanely awesome. I have been annoying Jacob occasionally with emojis and, and fireworks and balloons, but probably not as much as he had feared. I feel like that's going to be one of those throwaway features. But the way messages or the way notifications work, especially the messages app, I really, really enjoy that. So looking forward to seeing more apps that have that kind of feature that the messages does. I know that we won't get that until it's officially out.
But, right.
I do enjoy it. I think it's awesome. I think it's a very, very big step in the right direction for Apple. So
absolutely. And to your point, I had noticed some audio flakiness, but for me, it was over Bluetooth. And that was with the first public beta. I was trying to cut the grass and just could not keep my headset connected. It would cut in and out, all kinds of problems. I had that.
You know, if you had a wired headphone?
Well, you know, you say that, but I did cut the grass this week, and I went and dug out a pair of wired headphones because I couldn't keep my Bluetooth headset connected. Yeah. And that was before the public beta 2 dropped. And I also, I think I've talked about it on this show, but for Christmas this past year, I got a Bluetooth scale, which I love. You step on it, and it tells your phone exactly how fat you are, which is awesome. And that had stopped working, so I was having to type numbers in like an animal. I don't understand how humanity survived for so long. And the new beta 2 fixed all of that. My audio problems seem to have gone away. Bluetooth seems to be pretty rock solid. Some battery issues, but again, I was having some battery issues before, so I don't know if that is the beta or my phone. I probably need to do a fresh reinstall from scratch. And yeah, I love the new notification system. I think that they've really hit a home run with it. I know that Android faithful will say it's still not as good and flexible as Android, and I suppose that's true, but it is so much better than what it was, and I like the direction that they're going with it. The new, what do they call it, the new Today screen, or the whatever that's called, I don't even know what they call it, where you have all of their quote-unquote widgets. I love it. I use that all the time. Works like a champ. So, yeah, I'm two thumbs up. I am quite pleased with it so far for being a beta. So I know you can't really speak to it, Todd, over there in Android world. But
no idea.
It's cool.
I get notifications.
You should get an iPhone.
Really root your phone. You should really root your phone and get Nougat on there so that you can give us, you know, pre-release software information.
I'm going to root a phone 3 months before my contract is up. That sounds like a good idea.
It seems reasonable to me.
Can you
download
Nougat?
There's not very much risk. What's that?
Not really. I used to root them on day one, man. Back when I was sporting the Android. I love it.
Yeah, what I was going to say is Nougat even available in a beta form yet?
Yes.
It is.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
So it's not
there's
just
there's a developer preview. Yeah.
I got you. There's a developer preview. Yeah, I don't follow that world as much.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons, actually, I like the fact that I've gone away from Android, because when I have that much ability for freedom and tweaking and tinkering and all that stuff, I can't help myself. It's like a sickness. I have to do it.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about iPhone is you can't do any of that stuff, and so I don't.
Yeah, my phone, when I had Android, usually looked like a drunk graphic designer vomited on it, and it was never a good thing. I don't have that cohesive eye.
But different types of food every week.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I've got one I wanted to bring up real quick. I don't have it on the show notes, but I wanted to get it into the show before people tune out because I need everyone's help, and I'll need your help too. I have got a conundrum. You guys know, and I think we got it edited out of the show last time, but we had all kinds of problems on my end with the internet a couple of weeks ago, and my internet has been slowly degrading and cutting out, and I've been having all kinds of problems with my modem spontaneously rebooting, and I got really fed up the last, I guess yesterday. So I looked at everything I could think of. I tightened all my connections. I got in the crawl space. I checked the amplifier. Everything looked fine. And it was not just the modem, but the TV was breaking up and getting blocky and staticky, all that fun stuff. And it would come and go, but it was persistent. And I've got Comcast, so on a last-ditch effort, I went out and I got my big old spool of cable, and I crimped a new end on it, and I kicked open the box in the back of my yard, and I ran a new wire from the box to my house. Rock solid. I mean, I have been watching my modem stats since then. I've gotten like 5 errors. So bad modem or bad cable coming into the house.
Mm. Right, right.
We've also had a problem this spring with ground gophers, moles, some kind of critter that's been tunneling. I assume they have tunneled near and eaten this wire.
Yeah.
How do I convince Comcast I am not crazy and that they need to come out and replace my coax? Because if I call them and I say I'm having problems, even if I put it back, which I know I'll have to do, they're going to want to, oh, we need to reboot this. We need to send a signal. And it'll work fine for 40 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, and then it'll go all to crap. So what is the trick to get them out here? Because
just call and tell them that you ran a new cable and that you're seeing better performance. Just tell them the truth.
I don't – does that work?
Yeah.
Are they going to put me on a blacklist?
Bull
That's
crap.
Some good news. You just – it doesn't matter. They don't have any customer service. You can tell them whatever you want. There's no downside.
Well, I suppose that's true, but will I get a truck out?
I don't have any problems. I'm serious. Just call them and tell them the truth. Say, I was having problems. I have my own coax. I ran coax to my house. It was working fine. Can you just bury the cable?
Yeah, I guess I'll give it a try. I don't know. Any listeners out there that work with or have contacts in Comcast, like send us an email or a tweet. Let me know what is the secret code word to get bumped up, because I just need somebody to come and put like weather-rated coax in and bury the dang thing. So that seemed to be my problem, and that's why I was doing all that weird robot voice sounding stuff a couple weeks ago, which we conveniently edited out, so the listeners have no idea what I'm talking about. But anyway, I just want to throw that out there. I'm terrified of the fact that I'm in a conundrum now because they're going to want to treat me like a dumb user and not actually come out and fix the thing that I know is the problem. So I guess I'll try honesty, Jeff. I don't know. I'm not used to that honesty stuff.
I think that's the best way to go. But
the best policy?
Do what you need to do, man.
All right. Well, we'll give that a try. I will report back with whatever success I manage to achieve or not achieve. I may just go rent a trencher and put my own darn cable in the ground.
Well, you could do that, too. I mean, that's an option.
Yeah.
You should probably at least try Comcast before you do that.
I will try. I wish Comcast Frank was still there. I could tweet him and get some executive-level service, but he has since moved on.
Yeah. Okay, so I have one that I wanted to throw out there. I don't know if you guys saw this, but TU Delft, which is a university in Delft, Netherlands, released a paper. They have come up with a atomic scale storage system. And basically, they developed a technique that uses chlorine atoms as data bits, and they are able to fit 1 kilobyte of information into an area just 100 nanometers wide, which translates out into a square inch holding 62 terabytes of data.
Whew. Yep, I have some notes on this story. It's amazing.
It is amazing. At the moment, it only works in really clean conditions. In the extreme cold, 77 Kelvin, which is -321 Fahrenheit. But they're, assuming that at some point that will translate into copper and larger data sizes. And we could have, a 1 terabyte phone coming, in 5 or 6 years. So that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, you also left out the part where you need a scanning tunneling electron microscope to actually update and manipulate the data.
I got a couple of those.
Who doesn't,
really? In the backyard, yeah.
I keep the closet at 70 Kelvin so that I can, you know, use my scanning tunneling electron microscope.
Where I store my beer.
Yes. Your beer that is harder than granite because it's being kept at 300 some degrees below zero.
Quit raining on the parade. I just thought it was really cool.
It is really, really neat.
I want 72 terabytes in one square inch. That's insane.
So I actually heard a thing on NPR Science Friday this last week. Ira Flatow had one of the researchers on, and he happened to say this, and it caught me off guard. He said that if you could basically scale this up to a two-dimensional circuit the size of a postage stamp, it would record, it could store data equivalent to every book ever written by humanity so far. Postage stamp size.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty much amazing. They also said that if you stacked it in three dimensions, that I think it's 100 nanometers on a side, a cube, 100 nanometers by 100 nanometers would store the, I'm sorry, 100 micrometers. So I guess that's a little bigger. Yeah, a little bigger than a nanometer.
A little bigger.
100 micrometers by 100 micrometers would store all of the data of the Library of Congress. Teeny tiny little tiny thing. Just pack the whole Library of Congress in there. Yeah, it's amazing. So that's I'm so with cool. you. I want this stuff like now. Get it to me. Figure out a way. Like just like those batteries that are always coming any day now.
Yeah.
Right?
Any day now, we're going to have those batteries that last forever. I love it. Yeah.
But yes, it's very cool technology. It's awesome stuff. I saw one of you has some notes in here about friendly GMO mosquitoes.
That's
helping
me.
Protect us against dengue fever.
Friendly is actually a trademark.
Oh, really? It's friendly brand mosquitoes.
The friendly trademark. Aedes aegypti. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it, the mosquito. This was an article on Reason.com by Ronald Bailey, their science correspondent. And the technology works by creating male mosquitoes that pass along a gene that is fatal to mosquito larvae.
Huh.
They've actually tested this in a city of 5,000 residents, Piracicaba in Brazil.
Okay.
And the year after they introduced it, cases of dengue fever were reduced to 12 from 133.
Wow.
So this is a potential weapon against the Zika virus if the FDA allows it to go forward. They did have a comment period on it. The FDA showed no significant findings, which means that it's as safe as we can know about it beforehand. But they kept the comment period open to for the anti-GMO activists, basically. The unscientific anti-GMO activists.
Are they going to get lumped in with the anti-vaxxers?
I don't know. There's probably a significant overlap, I would assume.
I don't think so. Is that the same species that carries the Zika virus? Because I know it's one specific species that carries the Zika virus.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I know that I've seen this particular Aedes aegypti mosquito before, but it could have been just a previous article about the research that was going on. Now they've actually done a successful field test.
Ah, it is Aedes aegypti that carries the Zika. It the three main ones, it carries Zika, Chikungunya, Chikungunya.
That's a rare Pokemon.
Yes, that is a very rare Pokemon, and dengue. And those, it's like the trifecta of bad mosquitoes. So I know that they're trying to get that under control, and it's bad. I think the worst part is we don't even really know what the impact of Zika is fully.
No, but it's bad, and it's probably going to be in Florida soon if it isn't already.
It's already in Florida.
I heard on the radio this last week they've got cases that they think are from native mosquitoes that have somehow jumped the gap. So yeah, it's kind of scary. Makes just another reason not to go to Florida. That and alligators dragging you into the ponds.
Yeah.
What else we got here on here, guys?
Don't know if you saw that smartwatch shipments fell for the first time.
Well, I saw sensational headlines that make it sound like Apple's business is crashing and burning.
Well, yeah, kind of. They actually led the pack in decline, but only because they led the pack. So vendors shipped a total of 3.5 million smartwatches worldwide last quarter. In Q2, and that's down from a figure of 5.1 million shipped the previous quarter. and it's the first decline ever on record. The Apple's market share decreased 25 percentage points from 72% to 47%.
Wow.
So Apple Watch saw a big slack off. I don't know. You know, I kind of feel like it's because people are waiting and assuming that a new one's coming soon. I don't know. Apple still holds the undisputed leader, shipping 1.6 million units, no other vendor shipped more than a million. A thing to note that this does not include things like Fitbits and those type things. These are just smartwatches. So,
you know, I don't still see as many Fitbits anymore. I think that trend is maybe scaling back a little bit.
Yeah.
And outside of the, you know, I work with technical people, and outside of that cluster of people, I don't see like wild numbers of smartwatches out there. I think the adoption overall has been slow. And what you just said with just, you know, under 5 million sold in the last quarter, that's nothing compared to smartphones. And I have to say, when I was on vacation, I guess the week before last, you know, being at the beach, I didn't want to bring my Apple Watch and take a chance on the sand, scraping the glass and getting it in the water and all that stuff. So I pulled out an old trusty mechanical watch, and it took me about 12 hours to get used to not having the notifications. And then honestly, I wasn't like itching to put it back on. Like it wasn't driving me nuts not having it. It was nice to have the notifications right there on my wrist, but I got by just fine. So I'm curious if it doesn't have the appeal yet. There's no killer app for the smartwatch. I mean, notifications are the killer app, but you know, I never didn't have my phone within hands, you know, arm's reach of me.
I don't own a smartwatch. I've thought about getting one for the last couple of years, but I've never found a good enough reason for it. And I think if I exercised, I might get one because, like you said, the tracking capability on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like not wearing a watch, and it took me, you know, I grew up wearing one, and now that I don't have to, I like that, and I haven't been able to come up with a compelling reason to get a smartwatch to override that. They're cool, but that's hasn't been enough for me to spend my hard-earned accounting money yet.
You know, and that's odd that you were a watch wearer and then moved yourself away from it, because I just feel naked if I don't have something on. Like, smartwatch, dumb watch, I have to have a watch. I have to be able to see the time. Back at the beginning of this year, I actually got a tattoo on my wrist right where my watch band goes, and I had to not wear a watch for 2 weeks. And I thought I was going to go insane. I was trying to figure out how to wear my watch band on the other wrist, which just feels wrong. And I really did not like it. I mean, in 2 weeks, cold turkey, no watch, and I was not able to get over the hump. I was counting down the days until I could put a watch back on. So I guess more power to you for being able to not wear a watch. I can't do it. I got to have something on there. Just me.
The only time that I regret it is if I'm talking to somebody on the phone and we're trying to figure out like when to meet or something, and I want to look down and figure out what time it is right now, and then I can't because my clock is basically on my phone. So, but that only happens like once a year.
Well, and it's stupid too, because like literally sitting in front of me, I have one, two, three. I've got like four clocks like within just kind of glancing around. I mean, I've got no excuse for being able to not have a watch on my wrist, but I just can't do it. I've had a watch on since I was like 10 years old, and I've never taken it off, and I hate not having it. So that's just me.
I wear my watch every day.
Yeah.
I cannot not have a watch on. That's just,
Really ruins my day. If I walk out, like if I run out to run an errand and I've got it on the charge or something like that, I just don't feel right until I get back and put it back on. So that's just me. That's interesting. I'll be curious to see if the next iWatch, Apple Watch, you know, spurs the market again. I mean, you don't really hear much about Android Wear. I know that the Tag Heuer is out, and I've read a few like really, really sketchy, not full of details, preliminary reviews of the $1,500 Tag Heuer smartwatch, but I don't hear a lot of stories about Android Wear at all. And I mean, it's just kind of the whole market segment seems kind of quiet in general.
Yeah, I don't think I've read anything that Nougat brings to the table for smartwatches specifically, but on the flip side, I may have just skipped over it since I don't own one.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a tough sell market still. I don't think that people have identified the, oh, I have to have it for X yet. Hopefully it's coming.
Tag Heuer was specifically, you guys may have already mentioned this, but Tag Heuer was specifically to get young people to want to wear a luxury watch. Like it, you get a discount or whatever after you wear it for 2 years for one of their normal watches. So I think that was a marketing play.
Well, I mean, a discount in that you basically you get the $1,500 that you paid for the connected watch, and they apply it towards the price of one of their mechanical watches that you get to pay another $1,500 for, and so you're going to have $3,000 in it by the time it's all said and done. Which for that kind of money, I don't know that Tag Heuer would be the brand that I would invest that kind of money into, but they do seem to have quite a following. But anyway, I don't know. Kind of this one only ties in the sense that it's talking about an iPhone. I saw this story this week and it kind of made me scratch my head. Apparently Edward Snowden is partnering with someone, Andrew Bunny Hwang, I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, from the MIT Media Lab to design an iPhone case. I don't know if you guys saw this story.
I did, yeah.
Apparently, it is going to be a peripheral that will monitor signals sent to the smartphone's internal antennas to determine when it is actually transmitting data that could put you at risk of detection. So it's a case that slides on, it looks like. It actually interfaces with the SIM socket and has a screen and like a touch interface keypad on the back that tells you if you've got Wi-Fi on, if you've got Bluetooth on, if you've got GPS active, if you've got cellular active. And so you will know exactly when your phone is transmitting and when it's not. I guess they're trying to position it. It's a prototype right now, but they're trying to position it as, for, and I'm putting air quotes around the word, journalists in potentially dangerous environments where their cell phone could give away their location or otherwise expose them to dangers. Because even when you go in and put your phone in airplane mode, you don't know for sure if it's really stopped transmitting or not. And the only way to know unequivocally is to pull the battery out, and heck, on almost no modern smartphone can you pull the battery out anymore. So yeah, I thought that was interesting. You haven't heard much from him in a while, and then he pops up with this story. The picture, it's a render that they've shown as the design, looks just horrendous. It's like the worst part of a battery case and, you know, like a Motorola StarTAC just glomming onto an iPhone. So I don't know if this will ever be a thing that makes it out into the market or not, but there you have it. Edward Snowden is working with MIT to potentially develop and release an iPhone case. I thought that was an interesting one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
What else you guys got? Jeff, you've got a big one here on Pokemon Go and the healthcare and economic breakthrough. I think it's you, Jeff.
That's not you.
Me.
That's Todd.
Okay.
You know, I have exactly zero things that I added.
Well, in the notes, you brought other things offline to talk about.
Yeah, I did. I've been rebuilding computers and networking, and it's just been a treasure trove of horribleness here at the Cheney compound.
I saw Pokemon Go and I just assumed it was you, yeah. Jeff, considering you stopped us right before we started this to catch a rare Pokemon.
Pikachu, man.
Hang on. We can't start the podcast yet. I have to catch Pikachu. I don't even know. Yeah. I know all of those individual words that I just said, but I don't really even understand what that means when you put them all together in that order. All right.
He's
so talk
a cute little rat thing that uses electricity.
Talk to us about the healthcare breakthrough, Todd.
Yeah. This is a return to our friend at Malden Economics, Patrick Cox, and I consider this clickbait. If you want to get me to click on a link, tell me that video games improve the world. So not like the top 10 celebrities that I didn't know were transgender. I'm not going to click on that ever.
But how will you know who the other 9 are?
So anyway, this article talks about how video games improve brain function and mental health. A paper by the American Psychological Association titled "The Benefits of Playing Video Games" describes significant benefits, including increased ability to learn, improved health, and better social skills. That's a little counterintuitive from the standard stereotype.
Oh, absolutely.
Playing action and combat games yields better reaction times, which improves driving skills. That's been kind of known for a while, or tested for a while. And He has this quote, though gamers are often described as inactive, a tough game can get my heart pounding and leave me sweating. It is not as taxing as standard exercise, but it's better than passively watching television. And as a Diablo 3 hardcore player, where if you die, that character's gone forever, I can attest to the gets the blood pumping sometimes.
I think that's pretty spurious, though. I mean, I can't imagine that there is a statistical difference in, like, caloric consumption during something like that. Yes, is there?
Absolutely is.
You think there is?
If your heart rate is increased, then you're burning more calories.
Yes, you are, but is it a statistically significant amount more? I'm
curious. If it isn't, then aerobic exercise is a joke.
You're also not getting your heart rate to, like, 150 for 30 or 40 minutes during a video game.
Yeah, it depends on how you're playing.
Yeah, he did not cite any statistical evidence to back that up, but he does have a lot of good sites in this article in general. He talks about Pokemon Go as the newest fitness craze. It requires real exercise, improves the mind's puzzle-solving abilities. Millions of players are now outside and engaged in cardiovascular exercise. I mean, I mentioned the baseball game, and you couldn't go 5 minutes without seeing somebody walking by with their phone out with the Pokemon Go screen on, you know, just walking around the ballpark looking.
Yeah.
He points out that this accomplished overnight what Michelle Obama's MOVE program couldn't in 7 years, and who knows how much in taxpayer funds.
Well, we just had to find the right motivation. Apparently,
it's the right killer app.
Got to catch them all, and that gets people moving.
Yeah, he also has a link to an Engadget article pointing out that people suffering from depression and anxiety get relief by playing Pokemon Go. Get outside. Huh. It's a way for them to interact where you immediately have something in common.
Oh, yeah, sure. I could see that.
But I did want to point out there is a downside to this technology. Video games can help girls excel in math and science.
Wait, that's a downside? Boo, we don't want them
smart
women. We want
to keep all the STEM opportunities for ourselves, right, men?
You know, as the parent of a girl, I have to say no. I encourage females in STEM because we need more of them.
I think that's easy for you to say. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Jeff.
No, my daughter is so good in math and science, it's not even funny. So,
see, yeah. Here's my concern. You know, Jacob, you're good at renovating the house. Jeff, you're a good cook. If my wife overcomes her fear of spiders, I'm going to be kicked to the curb in like two shakes of a lamb's tail. But seriously, females generally have lower spatial relations abilities than males. That's a general statement. There are obviously exceptions. Scientists from Toronto speculated this is partly due to the fact that girls don't play the same sports and video games that help boys develop those skills. And the University of Toronto study was published in Psychological Science. It showed that both males and females significantly improved cognitive abilities after playing first-person shooter games, specifically improved mental rotation ability, a spatial relation skill associated with greater success in math. The study indicates that females can acquire the same cognitive skills that give men an advantage in STEM fields by playing FPS games.
Huh.
There you go.
Of course, the best one of those ever is Skyrim, so girls, play that.
First-person shooter Skyrim.
It's a first-person shooter game. It's less so much shooting, but it's definitely first-person.
Yeah, I don't think that's what they mean when they're saying first-person shooters. Well, I'm just going to throw that out there.
I'm sure, you know, Call of Duty is what you associate with, but what do you do in Skyrim? From a first-person perspective. You play a ranger, you're shooting a bow.
I understand, but it's not that twitch necessary, high hand-eye coordination, because I'm really good at Skyrim, and that is proof positive that this is not what they're talking about.
You're right, with like the Call of Duty and Doom, et cetera, you are competing against other players, that's a significant requirement to increase your reaction times, et cetera.
Sure, yeah.
But still, play Skyrim anyway. It's better. Okay. Yeah. video gaming can help prevent dementia in older people. That's what I'm counting on. And some cognitive decline comes from genetic origins, but some comes from just simple inactivity. And gaming can help both groups of people. So make sure that you add video gaming to your exercise regimen. Diablo 3 Season 7 starts August 5th, 2016. So that's a great time to get into it.
Yeah.
Now, interestingly, there was a company, and I don't know the name of them off the top of my head. They were selling, they were a web-based company. I've seen them. They sponsor a ton of stuff, and they were selling that whole just play games, and it exercises your brain and improves its plyoelasticity and blah, 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 and big sciencey words. And they were just sued by, I believe, the FTC and lost a boatload of money because there is no evidence that playing those games actually does improve cognitive ability and makes your brain younger, as they were claiming. I'm curious what the difference between this article saying that video gaming can help that from practicing and then this big FTC lawsuit with that learning company. I don't know.
But that's the simple difference is that if the company was advertising it, they were commercially trying to take advantage of those claims, whereas the University of Toronto is presumably a nonprofit. So the FTC is going to track down anybody trying to make money on misleading claims.
Yeah, and as I recall, it wasn't cheap either. I mean, it was like $20 a month, and their claims were like borderline. If you subscribe and play this, it will cure any brain problems you have. It will turn the clock back. It will give you the brain of Albert Einstein when he was 19. So, yeah, I mean, it was definitely, I think, pushing the boundaries of what any reasonable person would consider a reasonable claim. But I remember seeing an article like a year ago that it was a big, big settlement too. Like,
was it like Luminosity?
I don't know if it was them, but it was somebody like them. Luminosity.
I don't remember.
But yes, I mean, somebody just like that does that, you know, playing games fixes your brain. They got smacked with a big old stick by the FTC. So anyway. I don't remember the details much beyond that, but that is interesting. And, you know, I think I see a lot of kids getting into, and I think we've even talked about this on the podcast, Minecraft. You know, our nieces are Minecraft addicts. And I mean, I'm sure that the day is coming rapidly that, you know, our daughter's going to want to get in on Minecraft. When we were on vacation, we took our 11-year-old niece with us, and she had an iPad. And I think literally the 2.5-hour drive was Minecrafting the whole time on her iPad. I mean, that's all I saw her do.
You haven't seen Minecrafting until you hop on the server of my son, and it's like 8 engineering students.
Okay, fair.
College engineering students. I'm just saying, like,
she's an 11-year-old.
You would not believe the stuff that they make. It is insane.
So,
anyway.
But, yeah, no, that's good stuff. I am a huge advocate of more STEM opportunities for women, so that's very, very cool. I guess I'm going to have to put Pokemon Go on the old decommissioned iPhone that we let her play with, and let her go and catch them all.
You can walk with her.
I would never see her again. She would just be gone.
Take the puppy dog with you well, you know, one thing I would say, your daughter's too young to just let out and walking around. But if you have kids that are, you know, even like 13, 14 years old, you might want to walk through some, you know, good ideas and bad ideas when playing Pokemon Go with them.
Like, don't wander into a bad neighborhood at 2 a.m. to catch a Poke Gym.
Yeah, that's just common sense. But like, I was watching, there was an expose on like a YouTube guy who was at a park, and he like walked up to these 14-year-old girls, and he's like playing on the phone. He's like, "Oh my God, you know, I just caught this." And they're like, "Oh, really?" And they're like, "Yeah." And then he's like, "Hold on just a second." And he gets on the, you know, he pretends like he gets on the phone. He's like, "Yeah, yeah, where is it? Oh my God, okay." And he goes down, and he's like, "Oh my God, there's a Raichu, and it's just right over there. You want to come with me?" And they're like, "Yeah." And they're like running off with him. And then he's like, "Okay, girls, here's the thing. Don't do that."
Oh, so he wasn't the creeper. He was using this as an illustration.
He was using it as an illustration. He's like, "Girls, okay, you need to understand that just because you guys are both playing the same game as me, don't trust me." Like, they were getting ready to get in his car. I mean, it was just
But
a
he
bad
had
situation.
The level 36 Rigolor. How could you turn that down? It's so cool.
All I'm saying is, if you have teenage kids that are playing this, maybe talk through some, here's a good idea. Like, talking to someone in the park? Totally okay.
Getting into their car, yeah.
Getting into their car, not a good idea.
Yeah, I guess the stuff you take for granted, but it probably bears reminding.
I have to tell you a story. I was doing my pokey walk. That's what I call it now. There's about a 3.5-mile circuit that I take that goes through Franklin College, and it goes through a park, and it goes downtown Franklin, and then back. And I was walking through the park, and I think I was playing with my son, and, you know, we're walking, and my son's 19, so, you know, it's two older people playing Pokemon, and we come up to this one spot, and, you know, we're getting our gym, you know, thing in, and these kids are there, and they're like, "Hey, mister, you know, be careful, there's a lure over here, and I heard child molesters use that to lure people in." I'm like, I looked at him and was like, "I don't think I really need to worry about child molesters, kid." And he gave me this look like, "Why wouldn't you worry about that?" So I'm convinced that he had heard that, but he had no idea what a child molester was.
He wasn't like putting together mid-40s.
It's like that child molester that likes mid-40-year-old balding white dudes.
The child molester is a bear. Or a bear lover.
That's right. It's a cub that loves bears.
Oh, that is awesome.
So yeah, I was like, yeah, I think I'm all right. Thanks, though.
Thanks for the warning. Oh, God. All right. Yeah. Fair enough. I will download Pokemon Go and give it a look because that could be some good bonding time with
you
the kiddo.
You gotta catch them all, man.
I will catch exactly how many I can catch walking my street and no more. I will not be one of the mindless people I see walking all over the downtown with their head in their phone. I will not. Just saying.
It's good for you. It's good for you. You learn about stuff, too. Like, I know where the first county fair in Johnson County was, thanks to Pokemon Go.
I feel like I could Google that right now. I don't need a Chirazoo to find that out.
I know. I've stood on the very spot. Uh-huh. You can't Google that.
I suppose you're right. I cannot Google that. I got one more. I know we're kind of coming up a little bit on our time, and I know we got to talk about Average Android, but I wanted to talk about this one because I thought it was kind of interesting, and I'd never heard of it before. So I just got injected with no needles, and I don't know if you guys have ever had this done before, but it was kind of neat. So a few months ago, I started noticing that my shoulder was hurting, and I finally broke down and went to the doctor, and you know, you got to love those things with the doctor where they're like, "Well, yeah, at your age, that's not uncommon," because that's really kind of the first time I've gotten that. And so he's like, "I think you've got some inflammation in your shoulder. We're going to send you to physical therapy," which, you know, what you always want to hear. So I went to physical therapy, and, you know, I will admit it has been really good. It's been helpful. I'm quite surprised. They've done a good job and helped me get my shoulder back. And so I just had my most recent session, and my therapist had said that she's happy with the strength that I've rebuilt, but there's still some ways that I can move my shoulder that causes pain. And so she just whipped out the phrase that we would try, I can't even find it in my notes now, that we would try, I can't even read my own stuff, iontophoresis. We're going to try iontophoresis. And I'm like, oh,
is that
okay.
What happens when you turn into a werewolf?
It's something like that. You get bit, and then you go through iontophoresis. And so she just kind of said
ionto.
It, ionto. Sorry. Iontophoresis. And she just kind of said it real quick like that, and okay, I had no idea what that was. And so she starts talking about anti-inflammatories. And I'm like, hey, you know, I've had, you know, bariatric surgery. I got to be careful about what anti-inflammatories I take. And she's like, no, it's a patch that you put on. I'm like, all right. So I've heard of transdermal stuff. I'm aware of that. You stick a patch on, it bleeds through your skin over time. You get medicine. So she comes in and she sticks this patch on. And the patch has batteries and LEDs and all kinds of stuff on it and a microprocessor. And I'm like, whoa, that's like some sciencey stuff. And she's like, oh, yeah, this is great. Leave it on for 2.5 hours and then you can take it off. And so she put it on and almost instantly it started feeling like I had like little tiny needles in my shoulder, or like someone had ground like fiberglass insulation into it or something like that. And I'm like, oh, is it supposed to feel like that? She's like, yeah, you'll get used to it, which is just an outright dirty lie. You do not get used to it. It just irritates the whole 2.5 hours the thing is on. But she really couldn't describe it more than that, other than we use it. It delivers concentrated anti-inflammatory right to the spot, and give it a try. So I went back and I looked it up, and figuring, you know, this is a fancy looking gizmo, it probably is going to cost like a bazillion dollars, because I got my first EOB statement for physical therapy and they billed me $757 for a gal to say, yep, your arm hurts when you move it, and to basically tape it up and show me how to do some exercises. So I actually Googled the thing, and you can buy them. The patches themselves are not prescription. You can buy them on Amazon. You get six of them for $68. So I'm sure that means that they are going to charge me $300 for the one that they put on me.
Of course, yeah. And
so,
right.
Yeah. And so anyway, the way it works, and this is really interesting, iontophoresis is a medical process or a physiological process which uses electricity to flow fluids from one medium to another. And it's actually called electromotive drug administration. And they can formulate certain drugs that will basically inject through the skin under a electromagnetic or an electronic circuit. And so that's what this patch is it's got a pad that they actually put the medicine onto, and then it has a cathode that is a little bit further down your arm, and it creates an electrical circuit on your arm and flows that medicine right into your skin. They call it non-invasive, which I suppose it is, because when I finally ended and I took it off, there was no irritation or redness. It just kind of itched and was really annoying while it was doing it. But it really works well. I was surprised about 24 hours or so after I had it put on, I noticed almost no pain moving my arm. And so, yeah, it really worked. They say that commonly diagnosed and treated ailments for iontophoresis include plantar fasciitis, bursitis, tennis elbow, and golfer's elbow. Those are big ones. And my physical therapist actually gave me a dose of a steroid dexamethasone. So, you know, hopefully I'm hoping that just makes me get ripped since it's steroids.
I think that's exactly what's going to happen. Yeah.
You know, one little patch for 2.5 hours, I'm going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger in 1978. I'm hoping. That's really what I'm going for. But we will see if this continues to work. I was reading online. Apparently, it's supposed to treat inflammation for, you know, like 3 to 5 days, depending on the person. But yeah, it's a neat thing. I'd never had it done before, and it's very cool. So yeah, that's your little medical science thing for the day. Iontophoresis, kind of a cool thing. So
very, very timely for me. I have a appointment with a sports medicine doctor coming up, and same issue, I think, with my right shoulder.
Does it hurt when you lift your arm straight up?
No, it's not that. It's intermittently tingly and feels sore.
They
got an X-ray and put me on some naproxen, and that didn't really do anything. So I'll go see the sports medicine doctor here in a couple of weeks.
Pretty much exactly what they did with me, and the doctor wasn't even sure what it was. And as soon as I went in for my evaluation, my physical therapist is like, "This is what you have. This is why you have it. This is what we're going to do." And I got to say, you know, I grew up, and you know, my dad was always, you know, "Oh, the physical therapists, they don't know what they're doing." And you know, so kind of a neutral or negative opinion about all that stuff. But gosh, I've gone to like 4 sessions now, and it's made a huge difference. And so 2 thumbs up. And I got to say, I've fallen in love with the kinesthetic tape that they use, because they kind of like put you've seen it on athletes, like people who, you know, obviously look like me, the peak of human perfection. But a lot of athletes, you'll see they have the big like brightly colored tape on like their thighs or their arms, and you've seen it if you just probably never paid attention to it. And it's called kinesthetic tape, and they basically kind of get you into the position where your posture is the way they want it, and they put it on your body. And it's not so much that the tape pulls you into this position, but it sort of helps keep you in the right posture, and it makes a world of difference. So I'm a big fan. I got to learn how to do it to myself, so once my insurance stops paying for these physical therapy sessions, I can keep taping myself, because it makes a big difference. So yeah, 2 thumbs up. You'll like it. Good stuff.
Good deal.
All right. So Todd, tell us about what is on the average Android docket for today.
All right. This will be a pretty quick segment. I got a couple of things. We talked about the Amazon phones that have ads for $50 off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Jacob, you had a good question. Did it have a locked bootloader? And the answer is yes. At least in the case of the Moto G4, it does have a locked bootloader, so you cannot remove the ads.
Does that mean that the bootloader is completely locked, or they just haven't figured out a way around it yet?
The latter, I'm sure.
Gotcha.
Because, you know, Samsung has like their Knox security, but about a week after they release a new phone, somebody's got a way to get around it.
Yeah, so I remember rooting my Galaxy, and it was supposedly impossible to root. And you're like, oh, no, you just go clickety-click, click, and it was done.
Yeah.
Cool.
So there's that. I also want to mention my favorite site, AndroidCentral.com, at least my favorite Android site, is launching a Pokemon Go podcast. So any fans there, check that one out. It's called Go Time. And by Mobile Nations, which is the kind of parent company of Android Central. All right. And this is another article from those fine people. It's 5 things to look for in a budget Android phone. So we've talked about some of the phones, but these are the 5 things that you should look for. Make sure that if you're going to go cheap, it has at least these. At least a 720p display, and that's pretty low. I think we only had one phone that was actually that level, and all the other ones were higher, and that was last year's Moto G.
Okay.
But make sure you at least have a 720p or above. At least 2 gigabytes of RAM and 16 gigabytes of internal storage. And I had mentioned the Blue R1 HD a couple weeks ago. That will not have that, and you're probably just wasting your money because you're going to get all frustrated with it. So probably skip that one and go a little extra money for the Moto G4.
Okay.
Make sure your budget phones have micro SD expandability, and that's kind of combined with the next one, which is Marshmallow or later for an operating system. So Android 6.0 is Marshmallow, and it has what's called adaptable storage. And basically that tells the phone, hey, this micro SD card that I put in there, treat it like any other memory.
Huh, okay.
So you can basically expand.
That's new, for sure. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, the memory on your phone. It does have some drawbacks. Obviously, micro SD doesn't have as fast of a read-or-write capability as internal memory. And, of course, once you do that, you don't want to ever take that micro SD card out of your phone. Because if you do, it's going to confuse the phone, and you're probably going to end up having to root it. Or probably won't brick it, but you'll have to probably not root it. You'll probably have to do the factory default.
Factory reset, yeah.
Yeah, factory reset, and if you do that. So, but still, if you're going, you know, you buy a cheap phone, you buy, you know, like Jacob, you said you got that great deal on the fast memory,
yeah.
64 gigs, all of a sudden you don't just have a, 2 gigs of RAM, or sorry, 16 gigs of storage, you've got 84 or whatever.
Right.
So, try to get those 2 features in it too. And also, the screen should have oleophobic glass, which is smudge resistant. A fancy word of saying smudge resistant. Almost all phones have this, but I know I mentioned the Honor 5X. It does not have it, so you might want to skip that one. There's a new Wiley Fox Spark for anybody listening across the sea in Europe. Skip that one. And also the Honor 5C you probably want to skip.
Does that really save them not putting the oleophobic coating? I can't think these days it's much.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't think so, but and most phones are going to have it. This is just one final checklist that if you're going to go cheap, make sure
right.
that these 5 things are taken care of. So
it'll
just drive you crazy having all those smudges on if you don't get that. I think the OnePlus X comes with now a screen protector. So some of them are actually kind of shipping that with the phones.
Well, and I think that over time, those oleophobic coatings will wear off. I mean, even if you have it. So, I mean, you keep your phone for 1.5-2 years and it starts to lose that effect. And I think there's something to be said for the screen protector. I've always advocated, you know, not having one. And just this 2 weeks ago, away from home, and my wife dropped her phone and picked it up. And there was a nice, like, maybe 3/4 inch long scratch right in the middle of the screen. And it's just in that coating. It's not in the glass, but you can see it in bright light, and it's just right there. And, yeah, if we had, like, a Zag or one of those, you know, covers on it, it wouldn't have done it, or it would have just scratched the, you know, little $5 cover, and you could have peeled it off and thrown it away and gotten another one. So
no, if you don't like the feel of them, spend the money and get tempered glass. Those are great screen protectors. Oh, they feel great. I mean, they're expensive, but
I mean, relative to a whole new screen, I mean, what are they, like 10 yeah. or 15 bucks?
30, I think, for the good
bucks.
Ones. Can you get them for 15?
Yeah.
I guess the last one I bought was from my Dell tablet, so it was like 30 or 35, I think.
But it's also bigger,
size.
Right?
Yeah. For a phone, you can get one for 15 bucks.
I might have to give one of those a look, because I have not ever tried the tempered glass covers. I've
so,
tried
you know,
the rubberized
the biggest
ones.
The problem I have with them, like, I like am so careful and do everything that I'm supposed to do, and then there's always a piece of lint or dust underneath it, and that's it. I cannot. It's over. It comes off because I cannot deal with that one little piece. Like, it's just like a little piece, but no, can't do it.
Is that one
like
of those
a,
where
I need like a clean room? And
is that one of those where you just go to like Best Buy or the kiosk and pay the guy who does like 100 a day the extra $10 to put it on for you? Because I've tried that too, where like you run a hot shower and let the steam fill the bathroom and then settle so that it takes all the dust out of it. And I still always get something, a little piece of dust, a little piece of grit, a piece of lint. And I'm like you, Jeff, I've peeled more screen protectors off than I've ever left on. Because I hate I hate it.
I got one little piece like that underneath the tablet, but it's really tiny, and you know, I guess I value the screen protection more than trying to get it perfect. So
see, just you saying that is like literally making my skin crawl
a little bit, a little bit.
To know that you have that piece of lint underneath there, it's just like.
I'll see if I can get a picture of it and tweet it out.
Might as well just be a boulder, because that
that's right, absolutely. Oh.
All right.
Yeah, get a tempered screen and a protector and a bumper case.
Yeah, I got the bumper case, but I don't have anything on the front. And my wife has the exact same case and clearly does not protect from dropping it on gravel.
That gravel pretty much ruin your day.
Yeah. That trade-in can't come soon enough now. So, I think that we are at about our hour. Why don't we talk about what we love? Who wants to go first?
Hey, I'll go first because mine's an oldie but a goodie.
All right.
I think I've talked about the little theater that I volunteer at, and they show old run movies. And this past weekend was Jurassic Park. And it is an old movie, but I'm telling you, it holds up really well. Still an excellent movie, and I really loved it. So I'm going to say that what I love right now is Jurassic Park. It was excellent.
Is the CG still like respectable?
See, they didn't use CG, and I think that's one of the reasons it holds up. They actually built ginormous dinosaurs.
Not all of them. Like that first scene where all the brontosauri come out, those are all CG.
It holds up. Yeah, it holds up. But all the close-ups, it does. It really does.
That's cool.
I mean, it was
94? I mean, that's like 22 years ago. Something like that. 93.
It's got 93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
So. It's a good movie. It really is.
I can't get enough of that
Jeff Goldblum. Just saying,
life will find a way. something like
that's
that.
Right. Absolutely,
I hate it when I'm right.
Awesome. I knew it was coming up on some anniversary, but gosh, 93. That's 23 years old. That movie's old enough to drink. Oh, that makes. I mean, I remember vividly going. It doesn't feel like it was 23 years ago. Going to see it in the theaters. Why am I so old?
It wasn't. It was this past weekend for me. I remember it like it was Saturday. Saturday.
Fair enough. I don't know if you guys are aware of the comic strip, the fantastic internet comic strip XKCD, but there is a book. It is called Thing Explainer, Complicated Stuff in Simple Words. It is written by Randall Monroe, who also does the XKCD comic strip. And the plot synopsis or the overview is, quote, uses line drawings and only the thousand words, or whether 1,000 most common words to provide simple explanations for some of the most interesting stuff there is, including food heating radio boxes, microwaves, the big flat rocks we live on, tectonic plates, planes with turning wings, helicopters, and more. It's a great book. I mean, it is complicated things explained really, really simply. It's interesting if you're a 40-year-old nerd who likes this stuff. It's got to be interesting if you're a kid. I have not given a copy to a kid yet, but awesome stuff, young and old alike, really easy to get your head around, some really complex stuff, and it's not expensive. It's a nice hardcover. It's like a 12x12 big hardcover, maybe 3/4 inch thick, and you can get it for like $11 on Amazon. So yeah, two thumbs up. It is Thing Explainer by Randall Monroe. I'm a big fan of his stuff. And he also has an awesome thing on his website called What If, where he takes readers' just absolutely absurd questions and figures them out all mathematically and scientifically. So I also highly recommend you go check that out. You can literally lose yourself for hours down the rabbit hole reading his answers to these what ifs, like, what if the sun was made up of spiders? And what if you could shuttle, my favorite one is, what if you could shuttle all of Niagara Falls through a drinking straw? That one's an interesting one. It would basically...
I think one thing we know, if the sun were made of spiders, Todd's wife would not go anywhere near it.
That is true. It would really be bad all the way around for so many reasons. And the surprising one is, and I won't give away all of it, but if you could somehow capture all of Niagara and funnel it into a drinking straw, it would crack the planet in half. So, yeah, just insane scales of energy required to do that. So, anyway... yeah, I love it.
That might be the explainer. The plot of the next Star Wars movie, then.
We're going to shuttle all of Niagara Falls into a drinking straw?
To destroy worlds, yeah.
So the star sucker wasn't enough. Now it's the water drinker.
just wondering.
Well, the whole thing is that water has to speed up as it moves through a smaller and smaller pipe. That's how, you know, those garden hose sprayers work. And when you funnel the, what were we talking about, 100,000 gallons per minute or whatever it was, that huge number we talked about a few weeks ago, into a drinking straw, it's moving at 3/4 the speed of light. So, yeah, there you go. When you have things moving that fast, relativistic numbers take over and bad things happen. So, go check it out. It's cool, nerdy stuff. What about you, Todd? What do you love?
Well, first of all, I feel like I should buy that book just to, give the guy who makes XKCD money, because it's a great comic. I don't catch it all the time, but I've seen some really good ones on it.
Yep.
Anyway, what I love this week is the Rondo Icon Pack for Android phones. Very simple. It's attractive, colorful icons, nice shading for a slight 3D effect, and just download it. Easy to change with a Nova Launcher. It also happens to be free.
Oh, cool.
So, highly, recommend doing that. Give your phone a facelift, change a little bit, and it's like you have a new phone.
Is that one of those that comes with like a bazillion different icons, so that odds are you don't have to use the manufacturer's icon? They'll have one built in for you.
Yeah, it has a bunch. I haven't found one yet that it looks like a generic icon. So it's got lots and lots of them already, in its clip art gallery. As far as I can tell, I suppose if it doesn't, then the one that the way that it integrated the manufactured one is very, very good. So,
oh, cool. Well, and I'm looking at it.
I really like it.
Yeah, it's kind of almost got a little bit of a retro throwback vibe to it. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of wish I could tweak the icons on my iPhone. Oh, well. One of these days, right? By like iOS 20, we'll be able to change our icons.
You could. You just have to root it.
Well, yeah.
There you go.
I've not had good experiences jailbreaking, so.
Apple knows better what your phone should look like than you do. That's their motto.
And they stick by it. I will give them that. Very cool. All right, well, Jeff, do you want to wrap it up? Take us home,
not really,
take us away?
I guess I will.
All right.
Thanks, Jeff.
In strong, big note.
Big note. Hold on. You got to give me time because
I
wasn't prepared.
No, but you left early last week, so you had to wrap it up tonight.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know what to say other than that I wasn't prepared because Todd went last with what he loves, and that's usually the person that wraps it up. Okay.
I'll know for next time. Sorry about that, Jeff.
That's okay.
We get along so well here at the show.
Yes, we do. Throw him under the bus. Anywho, you've just listened to another episode of the No Better Than Average podcast. We would love your comments. Please call in at 317-643-1212. Ask a question, rant about something, tell us what you think about the Android segments, whatever you would like. We would love to hear from you. You can always follow us on Twitter at No Better Show. Visit our blog at www.nobettershow.com. You can send us an email the good old-fashioned way at feedback@nobettershow.com. If you loved what you heard tonight, we would really appreciate it if you go into that nasty program called iTunes and leave us a rating and a review. It goes a long way to help us spread the word. Until next time, thanks for listening, and now you should know better than average too.
Have a great week, everybody.
Talk at you later, everyone.
Play that music.
That's really cool. You're going to have to pardon me just a second. A wild Pikachu just appeared.
Go get it. Go catch it.
Oh, my God.
Attach your phone to your drone.
I'm going to call a ban on...
then I'm sorry, but I'm no longer going to be in the podcast.
So you're going to get overridden anyway.
Pokemoning during the podcast. I need an hour a week.
Pikachu.
No.
Do you understand?
I do not.
Well, trust me when I tell you that Pikachus are rare. I'm not going to just stop for any Pokemon. Like, mm-hmm. I'll skip this one over here. It's a Paris. I don't need mm-hmm. that one.
Uh-huh.
But Pikachu, no. It's got to happen.
You sound like a 12-year-old girl.
I'm okay with that.
Do you know how rare Pikachus are? Do you know how rare this fake thing is that they could arbitrarily make a Brazilian of?
Yes, but they don't.
Well,
so
but they could.
It doesn't matter if they could or do.
I don't even know who you are.
Yes, you do. This should not come as a surprise to you at all. Like, zero surprise.